Praise God. Good to see you guys. How you doing? Everybody's doing well? Glad to hear it. Well, it is a privilege and an honor to be with you. I bring you greetings from Summit. We're taking applications, by the way. So I was told to say that, just so you know. I'm not the Holy Spirit, so I leave him to deal with you if you are feeling called to come out. But Summit is a wonderful place. The Holy Spirit did a wonderful work in my life there. I thank God for it. And it's what I was given there that I'm going to be giving to you tonight. And wherever the Lord has you right now, just know that God is for you. And if he is for you, no one can be against you. So praise God for that. Now, I don't go out of my way to be, you know, edgy or anything like that, but I think this is the edgiest sermon title that I've ever come up with in my life. Punching the Devil in the Face. Punching the Devil in the Face. You ready for this? This is going to be a good journey through the Word, so you need seat belts for the... I'm just kidding. I don't know what's going to happen. Praise God. But if you got your Bibles, I know some of you do. If you got your phone, whatever, go ahead and open up to 1 John chapter 4. Once you've got 1 John chapter 4, open up to Ephesians 5. I have a habit of having everybody open to two passages at once because one is just not enough. I love the Word. Got to get as much of it in you as possible. So 1 John chapter 4. And once you've got that, mark it, go to Ephesians 5. That's where we're going to be starting, in Ephesians chapter 5. Punching the devil in the face. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come upon me now in your power. God, no one is able to stand, Lord, before the enemy that we're facing in this generation. God, no one in their own human strength is able to stand against what this culture is becoming, the direction that our society is heading in. Holy Spirit, without you, we are nothing, and we're not going to make it. But Lord, we thank you that we have you. Lord, we thank you that you came and you made your home in us the moment we became born again and gave our lives to Jesus Christ. Lord, the moment we did that, we became the temple of the living God, and you live within us now. And because of that, we can face whatever's coming down the pike, and we can face it without fear, and we can face it knowing that in the end we're going to win because you already won. So Lord, I pray that tonight you would speak truth to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would take this weak, frail vessel and that you would simply overshadow me with your glory, and that you would make your heart for your people known tonight, God. Lord, I love you, and I love my brothers and sisters here before me. And I pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 15. I'm reading from the New King James, so just try to follow along if you have a different version. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or wisely, "walk with wisdom, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Now, I grew up in church. You know, and I grew up in, you know, the powerhouse churches, you know, where we've got the Spirit of God and, you know, we run the aisles and leap over the pews and we speak more in tongues than in English and, you know, those kind of churches. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I grew up in, praise God. And I thank God for it. But, you know, there was a spiritual lack that I experienced growing up because there was a lot about the heart of God that I didn't understand. I understood what I should be experiencing because a lot of times, you know, we fall into the trap of thinking that Christianity is supposed to be very sensory, very emotional, very sensationalist driven, you know, and you just want to get real charged up on Sunday morning or Friday night at youth, and that's going to be what carries you through the rest of the week, you know, but emotions are like this usually. And, you know, you could be up here on Friday night at the gate, but then Monday morning comes and you're like, whoa, what happened? You know, the altar call was really good, but I don't know. I left something in the sanctuary. And I grew up with this mentality where I knew, be holy for I am holy. I knew those sermons, but I didn't know how to do it. And the problem was the guy preaching the message didn't seem to know how to do it either. It wasn't because, and I'm not saying that I saw these preachers living a double life or anything like that. It wasn't like that at all. But it was just a matter of we knew how to pressure each other into being godly, but nobody understood how to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. It became this thing that we had to do on our own. You've got to work it up. You've got to find the strength. You know what I mean? And you're just, well, the problem is you're probably just not praying enough, or you're not reading enough, or you're not doing this enough. A, B, and C needs to be filled in by you before God will give you D, E, and F, if you follow what I'm saying. And that was the mentality that I had. And so my Christianity was basically sin and repent, sin and repent, sin and repent. You know, and I came to the conclusion that being a good Christian simply meant that I loved Jesus enough that I would be willing to fight the same battle day after day. And, you know, just kind of hang in there and stick with it, and hopefully that would be pleasing in his eyes. I never knew that there was victory. I never knew that you really could win the battle, where you really could come to the place where the sin that keeps you failing repeatedly today can actually be completely absent from your life, where the Holy Spirit can make you that free. The cross really is that powerful. I didn't understand that. And I thank God that over the years, I'm still learning it, but the Lord has taught me how to be holy as he is holy. And I want to impart that to you tonight to the best of my ability. Now, if you want it, the only thing you've got to do is ask. You ask the Lord. I can't guide you into truth. I'm going to give you all I've got. It's going to be between you and the Holy Spirit to get to where we're supposed to go. Because I wonder if a lot of us in this room tonight find Christianity very frustrating, in the sense that you know what you're supposed to be, and you know where you're supposed to be. You know where you should be going, but no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to get there. And it's very frustrating. And I say this a lot, especially those of you that are from Summit. You're going to hear a lot of me repeating myself tonight with stuff that I say a lot. But there are those days you just can't handle looking at yourself in the mirror. And the only thing you can think when you look at yourself is, I should know better by now. What do I do with this? It's kind of like what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. To will is present. I want to do the right thing, but to actually do it, I don't know how. Every time I try, I'm met with failure. I'm met with the reality of my own weakness. And so here in this passage in Ephesians 5, Paul is giving an exhortation. And when you read the whole chapter, he's talking about being an imitator of God. He's basically giving a very clear outline of what the Christian life is supposed to look like. Enter frustration. I know what I'm supposed to be, Paul. I know what it's supposed to look like. He says in verse 15, walk wisely, don't walk as a fool, redeem the time. That means make the most of it because the days are evil. How many of you know we're living in evil days? We're living in a very evil hour. You know, I don't need to cite too many examples. We're living in very perilous times that Jesus said would be coming. But praise God, we already know that we win in the end. Amen. So he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And verse 18, it's just kind of this, he's talking about imitating God, meaning you want, because you're a child of God, because you've been born again, that means you've been given a new life from Jesus. Your old sinful life no longer has any power over you. You've been given the Holy Spirit of God who is transforming you, who has made you just and right before God. You don't have to be ashamed when you come into the prayer closet. You've been forgiven. You've been covered. And now there's a desire in your heart that says, I want to be like Christ. That's part of being born again. That's part of who you are. Now again, the frustration comes in. We know what we want, but how to get there, we have trouble. And when you get born again, you know, there's this desire to be like the Lord, to imitate God. And then Paul is outlining this throughout the chapter, and then verse 18 hits, and he gives this almost random command. Like, of all the things that he could touch on, why this? Why drunkenness? Of all the things that he could say, why not fornication? Or, you know, and just in case it's too big of a word and school is out and nobody wants to think anymore, that's sex outside of heterosexual marriage. That's what fornication is. The only time sex is okay with God is when it is in a marriage between one man and one woman who have made a covenant before God to be committed to each other, despite what they feel, for the rest of their lives. So, praise God. Amen. I love you, babe. So... praise the Lord. No, I got a Proverbs 31 woman too. She's awesome, so. Yep. So they're out there, guys. They're out there. Praise the Lord. But yeah, get this stuff down first, right? Get this stuff down first, amen? Praise God. So of all the things that Paul could exhort them not to do, he picks drunkenness. And he says, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Now, dissipation basically means no moral restraint. He's basically saying, listen, if you go out and get involved in drunkenness and you indulge in alcohol, what's going to inevitably happen is you are going to become quite impaired and you will find yourself getting involved in things that otherwise you would know better than to get involved in. Now, some of us can say from experience that that's true. Some of us can say it's true because we were told it in DARE class. Anybody have to go through DARE class? I was public school K through 12, you know, so we had the police, we had Officer Heffelfinger. That's a Pennsylvania Dutch name if I've ever heard it. I don't know if you have names like that in New York, but you know, Pennsylvania, yes, they're out there. You know, but he would come in and he would talk to us about that. And Paul gives this, again, it just seems like a random command. And what's even more random is his alternative. Be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't say, because of this, because if you get involved in drunkenness, if you get involved in the use of alcohol, you'll probably end up living a life of no moral restraint, so just avoid alcohol altogether. He doesn't say that. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being filled with wine, be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's the alternative that he gives, and it's just a very interesting train of thought that he has here. And the thing that you need to understand is that he's writing, again, this is to the Ephesians. This was the group of people that lived in the city of Ephesus. It was a very big city back in Paul's day when Rome was in power. And one of the chief gods that they worshipped was named Bacchus. And Bacchus was the god of wine. One of his nicknames was the Liberator. And the way that he was worshipped was they would basically get together, all of his followers, and they would get completely smashed with wine. And because of that, they would engage in every kind of immoral practice that you could possibly imagine. And the more drunk they became, the more in tune with the will of Bacchus they felt. Their worship, the intensity of their worship, was based upon how much alcohol they were taking in, because he was the god of wine. And so Paul could actually be giving an underhanded jab to that whole cult religion that was in their city. And when you look at his train of thought and the way that they worship, he says, therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The way that they would determine the will of their god was to become drunk. Paul says, you want to know the will of God for your life. You don't get involved in something that's going to impair you. You get filled with the Holy Ghost who guides you into truth. You don't engage in the evil practices of the culture around you. Now, the thing is, again, this is an idea that some men have about what Paul is saying. If he is in fact, and I think it's very interesting, if he's in fact talking about Bacchus, if he's referencing the worship of this false god and not just saying, don't get drunk, if it's beyond that, he's not just talking about don't commit one particular sin. He's actually talking to them about a system of worship that they were not to get involved in. He wasn't just telling them avoid this one particular sin. He's actually talking about an entire system of worship that if they were sucked into it, it would rob them of their discernment of what's right and what's wrong. It would destroy their judgment of what is good and what is evil. He was very deliberate in this selection. He was very deliberate in what he was saying. It wasn't some random thought that he thinks, I'm just going to throw this in here. Don't get drunk. You know, those Ephesians, they get a little loose, you know, in their morals here. I'm going to make sure they stay in line. No, he was very deliberate. He knew what they were facing in their culture. And so he addressed them accordingly. What's he say in verse 18? But be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When they would get drunk in these orgies, which is what they were, in this worship of this god, they would sing the songs of Bacchus, as they were called. And they would worship him. It was drunken revelry with absolutely no moral boundaries whatsoever. And Paul is in the verse before it and the verse after it, discerning the will of God and the worship of God. He's basically saying, if you want to engage in that, remember, Bacchus was the Liberator. They would worship him for the purpose of experiencing his freedom. The purpose of experiencing, oh, we don't have to worry about right and wrong. We can just do whatever feels right. If it feels good, then it is good. We can gather together and we can do this. And Paul says, if you want real freedom, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be filled with something that's going to impair you and rob you of your faculties. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's where real freedom is found. You want to know the will of God. You want direction in your life. You're tired of feeling lost, like you don't know what to do with yourself or what you're supposed to be, where you're supposed to go. If you want to know the will of God, be filled with the Spirit. This is his alternative to what was happening in their culture. It wasn't just about avoid this one sin. It was about what was happening in the society around them. And the solution to it all was be filled with the Spirit. That was the solution. And it doesn't matter what you and I face in our culture, in our society today. It doesn't matter what they're doing around us. It doesn't matter what pressure is coming in to make us buckle and give in to whatever evil practices are going on. The solution is right here in Scripture. You just need the Holy Ghost. And this is what's very interesting. Now, I know you're done with school for today, so we're not going to get deep into, like, it's not a Greek lesson, but there's a few things that you need to know about the grammar here. Because sometimes, guys, at the end of the day, sometimes English just doesn't cut it when it comes to the Bible. So follow me here really closely. When he says, be filled with the Spirit, in verse 18, that would better be translated into English as this: keep on being filled with the Spirit. That's what he's saying. So he's talking about not just you have a one-time experience, like you have some kind of hyper-emotional, very sensational religious experience with God, and then you're set for life. He says you need to keep going back for more. And the good part about that is not just that you need to go back for more, but that you can go back for more. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. If you want more, he will give you more, because there is no end to him. There is no end to who he is, and there is no end to the power that he's ready to impart into your life to cause you to stand in the midst of your school, in your workplace, at your family reunions. Sometimes, you know, that's where we need it most. He's ready to give you everything that you need to cause you to stand. Listen, these people, there were things permissible in the culture back then that are not permissible in our society today. They're not at all. We're heading that direction, in my opinion, but we're not as bad as they were back then in some respects. But the thing is, if Paul could flatly tell these people with what they were facing, all you need is the Holy Ghost and you'll stand, how much more can we take confidence that this promise is for us? It doesn't matter what you feel pressured by. It doesn't matter. Maybe you've got some people still in your life, and they're able to, for whatever reason, put you right in a position where every time you give in, they know how to get you where you just can't take a stand. You know, I knew a young guy when I was in youth group in a church one time. You know, our youth leader, I thank God for it. It was a very upfront discussion he was having with us. And, you know, he was asking us how we were doing and, you know, how we were holding up at school and under peer pressure. And this one guy got very honest. He said, you know, I keep messing up in this one particular area. And they're like, what do you mean? He goes, just, they put that blunt in my hand and I don't know what to do. He was being very real, you know. And the thing is, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. So I wonder if I'm hitting a nerve for a few people in here tonight. Listen, whatever it is that Satan seems to be able to get you in every time, it can be broken. Amen. It can be broken. You do not have to accept his presence in your life. You do not have to accept the presence of any kind of sin in your life and just think that you've got to live with it. This is your fate. If you're in here tonight and you're thinking, I was born in the wrong body, I don't know how to deal with these attractions that I have to people of the same gender, I know the Bible says it's wrong, but I can't do anything about it. You know what? That can be broken. You can be set free from that. You can be set free from that. Maybe you're like the young man I just referenced, and you came out of a life of addiction, and you can't seem to put the bottle down. You don't know what to do when you get around your friends that you used to get high with. You don't know, gentlemen, what to do when you sit down in front of the computer, and ladies too, because that's not only a male problem. It's not only a male problem. Some of you don't know how to have pure relationships with the opposite gender. It gets a little romantic and it goes farther than you ever intended it to. And then you're left disgusted with yourself once again. Listen, you do not have to accept that as your existence. You can be free. You can be transformed. And all you need is a little bit of the Holy Ghost in your life. That's all you need. That's all you need. I'm being very honest, I'm being very raw, and it's not because I'm interested in just, ooh, that was a good, yeah, threw a word dagger out there. I love you. I'm dead serious. I love you. Pastor Patrick loves you, and we are here to fight for you. You guys are worth our lives. Seeing you become everything God has called you to be is worth every drop of blood in my body. That is why I'm speaking as forthrightly as I am right now. Hear my heart. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're facing, what you're dealing with. God is greater than what seems to defeat you every day. He is greater. He is stronger. And you know, I know we all got excited when I read the title, but you know what? It's not our job to punch the devil in the face. Jesus already did that. He already knocked him out. He dealt the death blow 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And what did he tell the disciples? In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have, past tense, I have overcome the world. And that is why, listen to this, catch this. That is why Satan is a liar and there's no truth in him. Because everything he's telling you every day, you are bound by this. You're defeated by this. You'll never be free from this. That's when you and I have got to stand up in faith and say, excuse me, Jesus already beat that. Jesus already defeated this stronghold. He already broke its power. You got to call him out. Too often we let the devil do all the talking. You know what I mean? He's a liar and the father of it. The truth is not in him. When he says you're bound, excuse me. The cross says otherwise. Jesus said it is finished. It is done. There is nothing left that needs to be accomplished for my salvation. When you give your life to Jesus, when you surrender everything to him, when you come to that point where you realize, you know what? On my own, I'm heading for destruction. I need to be saved. I don't, even if you don't fully understand, and I'm just speaking, if there's anyone here tonight that you don't know the Lord, you haven't come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior yet. I'm speaking this way just even for your sake, even if it's just one. Listen, when you come to that place where you realize, I may not even know fully what I need to be saved from myself, at the end of the day, that's what it is. But I know I need to be saved. And I know Jesus is the only one that can do it. The moment that happens, the Bible says that you are made into a new creation. And as a new creation, a new creature rather, you have a new nature. You have new instincts. Whereas before it was instinctive and natural for you to be rebellious and you to be hateful. It was natural for you to be selfish and arrogant. It was natural for you to be lustful. But in Christ as a Christian with the Holy Ghost in your life, it is now natural for you to be kind, to be loving. It's natural for you to walk in victory over this world and over everything that's society tries to pressure you into doing. That's what's natural for you. The Bible says there is a war when you're born again between the new nature and the old nature. And we've got to reckon with that. But that doesn't mean victory is impossible. And it doesn't mean that you don't have that new nature in you. New desires, new wants, new ambitions, where everything centers around the glory of God and the souls of men rather than yourself. And that's a work only the Holy Spirit can do. And he wants to do. And he's ready to do it in you. He's ready to do it in you. Praise God. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Do not get involved in worship. And worship is basically the yielding of your affections to something.
That's the simplest definition I can give you of worship. Don't yield your affections to something that's going to rob you of your judgment, something that's going to rob you of your understanding of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Keep on being filled. When you feel a lack in your life, when you feel like a failure, you feel defeated, just come to the throne and ask for more. That's all it boils down to. You don't have to be ashamed. You just come in and say, Father, I need more. He says, okay, you've got it. Listen, the more I go on with the Lord, and look, I don't have delusions about me being older and more experienced than I actually am, but I can say this. The more I go on with the Lord, the longer I walk with him, the deeper I get to know him, I find that things are less hyped up and emotional. It's just a matter of truth. It's simply reality. God says it, so that's the way that it is, period. And my job is to just, in faith, accept it, tell the devil he's a liar, and tell him to be quiet. Amen. To put it mildly. The title's edgy enough, so I'm going to be polite for the rest of the sermon. Let's go to 1 John 4. I'm going to wrap up here. This is the last scripture we're going to look at. It ties in directly with what we're saying. Being filled with the Spirit of God. We're actually going to start in chapter 3, verse 24, the last verse of chapter 3, because I want you to catch John's full thought here. And here's a little Bible school tidbit. The verses in the chapters were not in the original letters of the Bible, so sometimes it's better to imagine like they're not there. You know what I mean? Because verse 24 is actually the beginning of the thought we're going to read into chapter 4. So follow along with me. John says this, now he who keeps his commandments, God's commandments, abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this we know that God abides in us, by the Spirit whom he's given us. So John is saying the way that you know you're saved is because the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's assuring you you're a child of God. He reveals the love of God to you, and he puts a desire in your heart to fulfill the commandments of God. You want to live a life pleasing to him. But then he says this. He changes his train of thought here. But beloved, don't believe every spirit. Because remember, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, this is how we know God abides in us, by the Spirit whom he's given us. Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You can get excited. It's okay. Praise God. Now, I want to break this down just a few minutes. Bear with me, and then we're going to close. John's writing to a group of people who were facing a very heavy influx of false teaching. There were teachers going around, and they were basically saying that Jesus was not God. Some of them were saying he was just a man. Others were saying he wasn't really a man. He was a phantom or a ghost. It's just really crazy stuff. We're going to leave it there because it just gets sillier as it goes on. And so they were teaching this. And so John has to basically help them determine whether or not someone they're hearing. Because how many of you have been, this is New York. I lived here for a time and I know some of the stuff that's out there on these streets. Have you ever been listening to someone speak to you and they're trying to talk about God? Something they're saying is just, you can't quite put your finger on it, but it's like, this is not kosher. You know what I'm talking about? And you can't quite put your finger on it. John is basically giving them a way to determine whether or not it's of the Spirit of God or it's of the Spirit of Antichrist. And he tells them, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that is not of God. And this is the Spirit of Antichrist. Because remember, this fits with their culture specifically and what they were facing. Because they were facing a teaching that said Jesus wasn't really a man. He didn't really come in the flesh, you know, so that he was just a phantom or a ghost. And if that's true, then he couldn't have died on the cross. That means we're not really forgiven. We don't have the Holy Spirit. We're not going to heaven and we're all doomed. So they kind of were ruining the gospel, if you know what I mean. It was very, very bad. And so for us, for us. There are people out there who teach, you know, you have different cult groups. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach things actually very similar to this. But the way that I would apply it to you and me, anything that contradicts what Jesus said about himself, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost will guide you into truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If anybody tells you, yeah, Jesus was the Son of God, he was the Messiah, but you can also get saved through some other means, through some other teacher. That's not the Holy Ghost. Jesus said something else about himself. So that's for verses 2 and 3. Look at it that way. Anything that will contradict what Jesus claimed about his own person, that is an antichrist spirit. Anytime you hear something that contradicts what God has declared about himself, that is not the spirit of God. Then in verse 4, this is the clincher. This is where we're really focusing tonight. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, the thing that you've got to realize is John is actually giving them an incredible comfort here, because he's basically saying, listen, I know you're confused. I know that this is really hard to discern. I know that this is very difficult stuff to navigate your way through, but the good thing is it's not up to you. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. It doesn't matter. This is what John is telling them. It doesn't matter what society throws at you. It doesn't matter what the belly of hell spits out at you. The devil can say what he wants. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And because it's the Holy Ghost who's called to be great in you, you have overcome. You have overcome. And see, going back to even what I shared at the beginning, my whole idea of what Christianity was could really be boiled down to this. I thought God expected me to be great in my own self, in my own strength. I thought he expected me to be somebody or something. Guys, Jesus saved us because we realized we were nothing. He's not going to put an expectation on us now. He saved us so he could be our everything. God has not put an expectation on you to be great. He simply asks that you allow him to be great in you. That's what it comes down to. If you feel defeated, if you feel beaten by the same stuff, listen, all it comes down to is this: let God be great in you. You just need the Holy Spirit. That's who's in you, and he's greater than the spirit of the Antichrist that's in the world. And you can stand in this generation. You can stand in this evil hour. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. He is so faithful, isn't he? You know, we're going to give an altar call, and just to make sure we're all on the same page with what that is. An altar call is simply a time where, you know, we're going to go into a time of worship, I believe, and I just want to invite you, just a couple different invitations here. First of all, if you're one of those people that you're like me and you just feel like, you know, that's my problem. I've been thinking I've got to be something this whole time. I feel so broken. I feel so defeated by my human weakness. I know what I want to be, but I can't get there. You just need the Holy Spirit. And I want you to come down and join me at the front of this auditorium, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to believe God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, you know, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a one-time thing. And if you don't know what that is, you get plugged into a church, you get plugged in here, and you ask a small group leader, they will explain it to you and they'll pray with you. But listen, it's not a one-time thing. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. And if you're here tonight, you've never given your life to Christ. You're not born again. But there's something in you that's like, you know what? This is exactly what I need. This is exactly what I need. Then tonight is the night. You need to make a decision. God loves you. He loves you, and he's going to be waiting to welcome you with open arms. You just got to come down, take that step, and he's going to respond. So if you fall into either one of those categories, would you please just begin to come down to the front? We're going to worship together for a time, and then we're going to come back and pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, that 2,000 years ago you dealt the death blow to Satan and his kingdom. Lord, you broke the power of sin. You broke the power of shame. And Lord, I thank you that tonight, God, you're dealing another death blow to strongholds of sin. God, I thank you tonight, Lord, that the enemy's knee must bow, oh God. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, I pray right now in your name, O Lord, that every chain that's upon my brothers and sisters, O Lord, every area of their life where Satan has been telling them that they're bound, that they're defeated, Satan, we rebuke you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a liar. We call you for what you are. We expose you with the truth of the Word of God. There is no truth in you. You are not the winner here. Jesus Christ defeated you, crushed your head, broke your power 2,000 years ago. The Word of God says that on that cross, Jesus took principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them and put the enemy to an open shame. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that our enemies are put to shame. Lord, we thank you that every defeated area of our lives, every area of our being that has been spiritually deficient must bend its knee in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that we are not a bound people. We are a free people, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We agree with God tonight. We agree with what God says tonight. We agree with what the Word says about us tonight. And more importantly, we agree with what the Word says, oh God, about who you are tonight. Lord, we're not going to listen to any more lies that say God's forgotten you, God's angry at you, God's fed up with your failure. We don't believe that. That's a lie. We are not a disappointment to God, because we are in Christ Jesus, and because he never disappointed the Father, we are not a disappointment either. Because Jesus was successful, we are not failures. Because Jesus was victorious, we are not defeated. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the cross. It's because of what you have done, O living God. Not because of us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't call us to be great. You simply ask us to let you be great in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. We magnify you. We bless your name. You are worthy. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan, this is your eviction notice tonight. We do not accept your presence in our lives. We don't accept the presence of your strongholds. And we thank you, Holy Ghost, that you're going to make this last Monday morning. This is going to last through next week. This is going to last through the summer. This is going to last till we make it home to glory. Because it's not our job. It's not our victory. It's Christ's victory. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us afresh tonight. Lord, if there's any Christians here, Lord, who have never been baptized in your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would fill them tonight. God, I pray that you would fill them with boldness to share this gospel unashamedly. I pray that they would be different. I pray that their worship would become deeper than it's ever been. Lord, their embracing of the Word of God would be more fruitful than it's ever been before. Lord, that when they stand in their classrooms, there would be a marked difference. Lord, in their workplaces, Lord, their employers and their fellow employees would notice something's different about you. Lord, we can't be what we need to be on our own. Lord, some of us are frustrated. We want to please you. We know what we want to be, but we just can't do it. But Lord, we thank you tonight that Holy Spirit, you're the one who's going to make us what we cannot make ourselves. Lord, I pray that we would be everything you've called us to be. Holy Spirit, move us into our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Put a fire in us, oh God. Put a passion in us for your heart. Put a passion in us for people. God, I pray that you would fill us with a love for your word. a love for one another. God, I pray, Lord, that you would set us free from every form of bondage that the enemy's trying to keep in our lives. God, if there's any here tonight that are giving their lives to you for the first time, Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would come upon them. And Lord, that you would assure their hearts of your love. You would assure them over and over again, you are my child. I forgive you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're mine now. God, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that a sense of your love would overwhelm all of our hearts. Because Lord, no matter how long we've been walking with you, we still need it. And Lord, tonight we're all here asking for the same thing. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, God. Because we want to be the kind of people that you want us to be in the society that we're living in. Lord, we don't want to sit still while our generation goes to hell. God, we don't want to sit by and do nothing. Lord, we don't want to stand and feel powerless to do something about the problem. Lord, we want to stand, and we thank you that you've given us your Holy Ghost to make us stand. Spirit of God, thank you, Lord. Fill us up tonight, God. You give yourself without partiality. Lord, you're not judging. The only thing you're looking for is an open and honest heart. And Lord, sometimes that's really all we can bring to you. So Lord, we give you what we've got, and we pray that you would take the rest. We love you. We love you. Thank you, God. Yes, give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Beloved, I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit, and you know, I don't know, Pastor Patrick's going to come, and you know, I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I know the Spirit of God is stirring something, and I can't put my finger on what it is, but you just remember, you can have all of Jesus that you want. Do not ever let anything hold you back from coming and getting more. He died so you could have everything in the kingdom. He told his disciples in the book of Luke, you look it up tonight, I think it's in Luke chapter 12, he said, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Everything is yours. Everything is yours. It's at your disposal. And it's because God loves you that much, and he wants to make you everything that he's called you to be. He loves you, and he's not ashamed of you. He's not. But Pastor Patrick, if you would come, sir.
You know, we've heard a word from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is here among us, and he's wanting to fill us tonight, and we're just going to continue to worship him. And I want to invite you, we'll do our best to get the words on the screen, but I just want you to invite God to fill you tonight. Invite the Spirit of God to take control of your life. You know, that you and I would be basically like a glove in the hand of God. Amen. That he would come and he would begin to animate us and make us and lead us and guide us and cause us to be what he wants us to be. I saw a picture tonight as we were sharing tonight and hearing from the Word of God and worshiping, a picture of Christ, you know, as the head. The Bible says he's the head and we are his body. And I just saw a picture of the Christ, you know, just crossing the finish line, you know, crossing the threshold of heaven, and you and I crossing along with him, because we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his body. And I just saw him just crossing the threshold, and you and I crossing with him. And I saw Christ going into places where the enemy has reigned and coming out victorious, and you and I coming out victorious as well, and seeing the enemy's kingdom plundered in the name of Jesus. And so let's worship, let's continue to exalt the Lord tonight, but I want you to lift your hands to him as a sign of surrender and continue to worship him tonight and say, God, fill me tonight. Fill me tonight as we worship him. Amen. And let the Holy Spirit come and begin to fill you tonight. Hallelujah.